Hello and welcome back to Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly, and I have to say I'm very, very, very much refreshed after my holiday in Turkey. So, this news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. A prehistoric skull is found at a Malibu construction site in the USA. A team is searching for ancient shorelines in Michigan. And still in America, a prehistoric site is under threat after road construction was halted in Texas. A mysterious carved stone was found at Whitby Abbey. And BBC Four is now set to unearth Silbury Hill's history. Vandals have targeted a long barrow in Lancashire. And there's news of another archaeological website launch in Scotland. The world's oldest wall painting is unearthed in Syria, and a monolith raises questions about ancient Mexican culture. And finally, ancient human migration is explained in the Pacific region. A human skull unearthed at a construction site in the Malibu region of California in the USA has been officially declared a prehistoric Native American find. Workers preparing the foundation for a new mobile home in the beachside discovered the skull during routine digging and contacted the sheriff's department. The team's consulting forensic anthropologist, Elizabeth Miller, said that her analysis was based upon the age of the remains, which were determined first by the brittleness of the bones and then the morphology of the face and its ethnic characteristics, as well as the wear on the teeth. As most Californian Native Americans in pre-recorded history have very worn-down teeth because of the large amount of grit in their diet. Larry Myers, the executive secretary of the Native American Heritage Commission, said that there are a number of options. The skull could even be reburied on the spot that it was found after a ceremonial ritual. There probably will be a request to do further excavation at the site, but most property owners do not allow this. I find this very, very different from what happens in the UK, where it would actually be required. Anyway, John Anderton, a geoarchaeologist and geography professor at North Michigan University, and his team are discovering waste flakes from stones and fragments of fire-cracked rock at an undisclosed site near Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore. Finds over the past several months are helping researchers learn more about the prehistoric people who frequented this northern part of Alger County in Michigan, USA. They seem to be making simple flake tools, probably to process fish. Anderton said that from the archaic period, people frequented Pictured Rock quite extensively in small numbers, making seasonal campsites to benefit from the available food sources. After the glaciers of the Pleistocene epoch retreated and melted, a lake predating Lake Superior called Glacial Lake Nipissing covered an area of some 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. The level of that archaic period lake was 40 feet higher than the present day. Anderton and a small group of his students have been working to uncover evidence of new prehistoric archaic archaeological sites at areas around the park that contain evidence of former beaches, wave-cut caves, and ancient barriers and lagoons. This information will be used to generate a geographic information system, or GIS, model of a prehistoric and Native American settlement that will be used to predict the location of further archaeological sites. A total of 23 new sites have been found this summer. Only a dozen prehistoric sites had previously been documented at the park, the last over 20 years ago. Michael Collins, an archaeological researcher at the University of Texas in USA, has spent the past 16 years studying artifacts from an area of Williamson County to uncover a prehistoric society that camped there nearly 11,000 years ago. A major road now covers part of the site, but Collins thinks land nearby has similar finds, although he may never get to find out. This month, a judge reaffirmed the right of the original owners to reclaim the 21-acre site from an archaeological conservation group. The disputed land was never excavated, but it's next to an extraordinary piece of Texas history that has attracted Collins and other researchers. While work has been done on the extension of the RM1431, an ancient burial site was found in 1982. It contained thousands of artifacts and the remains of a woman that dated back around 11,000 years. The discovery changed researchers' ideas about how tribes lived and moved through the area and how they gathered food. The Wilson family donated the land in 1991 so that researchers could further study the area. But last year, they took the property back, saying it wasn't being used in the way that the family had wanted. Will Wilson Jr.'s father wanted the Archaeological Conservancy, a non-profit group from New Mexico, with hundreds of other preserves nationwide, to excavate the land, share it with educational institutions, and rename it in the memory of his late wife. But the Conservancy and the archaeologist said excavations are costly and extensive endeavours, done only when a site is under threat. Archaeologists said that preserving the land is the best option, and criticised District Judge Bert Carnes for siding with the Wilson family after the Archaeological Conservancy sued to reclaim the land. The case stems really from an early misunderstanding between the family and the Conservancy, and in fact the Conservancy was doing what was needed to be done. Very much like in Britain, where we have a policy of preservation in situ, which can be very difficult to understand for members of the public, but is in fact one of the best things to preserve our past for the future. Experts are studying a carved stone recently uncovered on Whitby Abbey Head in North Yorkshire in England to see if it represents the first Bronze Age artefacts from the site. St Hild founded an abbey on Whitby Head in 657 CE, which is now an important historic site. An archaeological team came to the site this autumn for a 6 weeks dig and found an intriguing stone carved with linear markings. Measuring about 40 centimetres by 50 centimetres, it appears to be like the type of Bronze Age carved stones found on the North York Moors in 2003. A much more ornate stone was found there on the Findale's Moor and has been likened to an Irish grave passage art. One theory is that the stone found at the abbey could have been an instantly recognisable logo with a specific meaning to the people that were around at the time. A defensive Iron Age enclosure, complete with a palisade which would have comprised a wooden fence fronted by a deep ditch, has also been uncovered during the excavation. English Heritage is trying to collect as much information as possible from the site before the cliff top erodes away. Last year, it commissioned a project to identify historic sites vulnerable to coastal erosion along an 85-mile stretch of coastline from Whitby to North Lincolnshire. This was to form part of a national picture of the threat posed by rising sea levels and coastal erosion. The Whitby headland site could actually disappear within 20 years. Coast presenter and friend of mine, Neil Oliver, will explore the interior of the largest man-made mound in Europe in a one-off documentary for BBC Four. In Lion Television's Silbury Hill programme, the archaeologists will team up with social anthropologist and Castaway presenter Marianne Ochota in his attempt to find why Silbury Hill was built and to uncover the story of the people who helped build it. English Heritage granted them access to the Wiltshire Mound and the work of its archaeologists and engineers for the 60-minute documentary. We'll get back to you actually about when this should be broadcast. A 5,000-year-old monument has been targeted by vandals in Lancashire, England. A prominent spiral-shaped design has been carved into the ancient Pike Stones, a long barrel burial chamber on Anglesark Moor in Chorley. United Utilities, who own the land on which the monument stands, claim it is one of the earliest man-made structures in the county. The Pike Stones are protected by law and is an offence to deface them, a spokeswoman from English Heritage said. Anyone defacing the stones or the surrounding area is committing an offence. But more importantly, they're also destroying the heritage of present and future communities. Peter Isles, Lancashire's county archaeologist, said that the Pike Stones is the only scheduled long barrow in the county, and as such is of particular importance both to the present inhabitants of the county and to the understanding of this early period of our history. The Pike Stones, now in ruins, was once an impressive construction which featured five upright large stone slabs, capped by two lintel slabs to form a burial chamber at one end of a long mound of earth and stones. The chamber was built on a ridge which gave excellent views over the Lancashire Plain, where it may well have served as a territorial marker or provided some spiritual protection to the people below. This is a case where people are kind of forcing their own spiritual views on things which perhaps are best left as they are. A new website will be created to promote archaeological artefacts in Dumfries and Galloway region in Scotland, thanks to a £40,000 cash injection. Under the recognition scheme funded by the Scottish Government and managed by the Scottish Museums Council, important collections are protected and promoted to a wider audience. And Dumfries and Galloway Museum Service Archaeology Collection is one of five museums and galleries in Scotland to land this financial boost. The new website will provide information and details on archaeological objects within the collection. Once again, we'll let you know more about it when it's actually off the ground. French archaeologists have discovered an 11,000-year-old wall painting underground in northern Syria, which they believe is the oldest in the world. The 2-square-metre painting in red, black and white was found at the Neolithic settlement of Jadeh al-Mughara on the Euphrates, northeast of the city of Aleppo. It looks very much like a modernist painting, and some of those who have seen it have likened it to the work by Paul Klee. And through carbon dating, the team have now established it dates to around 9000 BCE. Another painting has been found next to it, but that won't be excavated until next year. Rectangles dominate the ancient painting, which form part of a plastered circular wall of a large house with a wooden roof. The site has been excavated since the early 1990s. The red came from burnt hematite rock, and crushed limestone formed the white, and finally charcoal provided the black colouring. The inhabitants of Jadeh al-Mughara lived off hunting and wild plants. The village was later abandoned and the house stuffed with mud. A large number of flints and weapons, such as mace heads, have been found at the site, as well as human skeletons buried under the houses. Mustafa Ali, a leading Syrian artist, said similar geometric designs to that in Jadeh al-Mughara painting can be seen on carpets and kilims made today. This is a bit of disappointing news for me, because I was working on the site at Kermesderi in northern Iraq with Trevor Watkins, and we thought we had the earliest paintings in the world, again in sunken plastered houses from this epipaleolithic period, and again the houses have been filled in deliberately, and again with human remains either placed on the actual plaster floors or underneath the floors. At the Kermesderi site we also had pillars with sort of strange stumpy arms sticking out in the middle, so great site to be on, and I advise people to actually Google up this site, the Syrian wall paintings, to have a look at it. Tivanhuastec jungle in Mexico, an enormous carved stone monolith stands suspended over the pool of water where a team of archaeologists discovered it. A powerful woman stands at the centre of the carving, flanked by two smaller decapitated women. A stream of liquid flows from the headless women towards the woman in the centre. The women on each side are thought to represent priestesses, and the liquid represents the life force, while the women at the centre represent the Mother Earth goddess, with the priestesses nurturing the earth with their own life force. The truth is, however, nobody knows exactly what these stone carvings mean. One thing is fairly certain, though, because of the recurrence of the number 13, the monolith seems to be a lunar calendar. It is believed to have been created around about 600 BCE, which is 2,000 years before what was previously thought to be the oldest discovered calendar in the Americas, the Aztec calendar, which dates to around 1400 CE. The intricate carvings of the Huastecs left on the stones leave clues to a culture in which women clearly played a strong role as governors, priestesses, and warriors. The monolith was discovered in a graveyard surrounded by the remains of 84 women, which made up 90% of all the remains that were discovered there. The monolith seems to have been toppled from its original location, broken into pieces and covered with mud around 300 BCE. With only 6 years of excavation and analysis behind them, there are many secrets yet to be unearthed at this site, secrets that might contradict much of what historians think they already know about ancient Mexican history. A new study by Kevin Pope of GeoEcoArc Research and John Terrell of the Field Museum has been adding insight into the migration of anatomically modern humans from Africa and into Asia. The comprehensive review of human genetic, environmental and archaeological data from the Circumpacific region supports their hypothesis, originally based on genetic evidence, that modern humans migrated into eastern Asia via a southern coastal route. the expansion of modern human populations into the circumpacific region occurred at least four pulses, in part controlled by climate and sea level changes in the late Pleistocene and Holocene epochs. The initial out-of-Africa migration was in fact thwarted by dramatic changes in both sea level and climate, as well as extreme drought in the coastal zone. A period of stable climate and sea level, 45,000 to 40,000 years BP, gave rise to the first major pulse of migration, where modern humans spread from India throughout much of coastal Southeast Asia, Australia and Melanesia, extending northward to eastern Russia and Japan by 37,000 years BP. The northward push of modern humans along the east coast of Asia stalled north of the 43rd degree north latitude, probably due to the inability of the populations to adjust to the cold waters and the tundra steppe vegetation. The ensuing cold and dry last glacial period from 33,000 to 16,000 years BP once again brought dramatic changes in sea level and climate, which caused abandonment of many coastal sites. After 16,000 years BP, climates began to warm, but sea level was still 100 metres below modern levels, creating conditions amenable for a second pulse of human migration into North America across an ice-free coastal plain now covered by the Bering Sea. The stabilisation of climate and sea level around 8,000 to 6,000 years BP supported the expansion of coastal wetlands, lagoons and coral reefs, which in turn gave rise to a third pulse of coastal settlement, filling in most of the circumpacific region. A slight drop in sea level in the western Pacific between 6,000 and 4,000 years BP caused a reduction in productive coastal habitats, leading to a brief disruption in human subsistence along the then densely settled coast. This disruption may have helped initiate the last major pulse of human migration, which saw the migration to Oceania itself. This would have begun around about 3,500 years BP and culminated in the settlement of Hawaii and the Easter Islands by 2,000 years BP. Don't know about you, but all that these pulses and coastal migrations are making me feel a wee bit seasick now. So I'll stop there. And can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities are available at Badger, www.bajr.org. Along with our sister site, pasthorizons.com, which will give you access to hundreds of archaeological sites to volunteer on across the world, as well as a brand new archaeological tool store, delivering right to your door. And remember that more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.